It is wonderful to be back with you all. Last Sunday, I didn't feel quite human, so it's nice to even feel human again. I would love to take a trip next year to the Holy Land with those of you who'd be interested. So pray about that. Yes, if you're interested, I love it. We have folks who are interested, and that is so cool. As I told several of you, it was like seeing faith in 3D. To see these stories that we've heard about, read about our entire lives, to see where they took place was just mind-blowing every step of the way. But it is good to be back with you all. Our scripture for today comes from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. Hear now these words. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. But then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By of what works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, and he will justify the circumcised on the ground of faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. The word of God for us, the people of God, thanks be to God. Will you all pray with me? God, we give you thanks for this holy word, and God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable for you, God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we're continuing in our sermon series on buzzwords, those fun churchy words, and defining them. So today we have three words. First is atonement. Andy mentioned it in his prayer. It was developed in the English language in the 18th century as a combination of at one meant. Meant to set at one or to reconcile. Our second word is the law. That's God's commandments and decrees to God's people. God established a covenant with God's peace and said, I will be your God if you follow my rules. Of course, we remember the Ten Commandments, but there's also different laws that we find in Leviticus. This is how God wants God's people to live. And of course, we remember that Jesus Christ came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And then our last word for today is Eucharist, Holy Communion, what we celebrate every week here. It's one of our two sacraments that we have here in the United Methodist Church. We understand a sacrament to be an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. One of the beautiful ways that we see God at work through God's power is by using ordinary things to symbolize God's power and God's majesty. In Eucharist, we see this through bread and cup, both being necessary for us to live. We celebrate these as sacraments as we believe that they are visible signs and acts of God's work, God's grace working in our lives. And also, we call them a sacrament because Jesus told us to do them. Baptism and Holy Communion, Jesus told us to do it. So last week, we looked at sin, evil, grace, and gospel. And this week, we're expounding on these words. So we worship a wonderful, loving, and grace-filled God, a God who's been working on a plan to reconcile the world ever since we as people messed it up. As you might remember, in the garden, God dwelled with Adam and Eve. They were together. It sounded like it was paradise. They could eat what they wanted. They could do anything they wanted, except there was one tree they were not supposed to eat from. And they were tempted, and they gave in to that temptation and ate from that one tree. And then they were expelled from the garden. They could no longer dwell with God. And ever since then, God has been working on a plan to reconcile the at-one-ment, to send that atonement to allow us to be with God once again.
God wants to be with us, but our sin keeps us from that state of being one with God. Now, we see throughout the Bible that God at times was disappointed with creation. For example, we see that God saw the wickedness of humankind, but also saw Noah. God saw a man who was righteous, and so God decided to destroy the earth with a flood, but spare the animals, a pair of each animal and seven of the clean ones, and Noah and his family. And then God decided to bless one of Noah's descendants, Abram, and promise that he would be the father of multitudes, the father of a great nation, and that God would make Abram, who became Abraham's name, great, and he would become a blessing. So God made a covenant with Abram, promising land and again many descendants more than the stars in the sky, and changed his name to Abraham. And God blessed the couple, Abraham and Sarah, with a baby in their old age and promised to protect the descendants. And also, God began to institute a sacrifice to atone for one's sin. Now, God saw that God's people were being oppressed and mistreated in Egypt through Abraham's descendants. So God heard their cry, we're told in Exodus chapter 3, knew their sufferings, and came down to deliver them, to take them to that good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So God gave the Israelites 10 rules to follow, the 10 commandments, to help them to be good and righteous people, and to continue the practice of burnt offering to atone for one's sins. However, that wasn't always enough. So God gave them more laws that we find in Leviticus because they struggled to keep the 10 laws. And then when that didn't work, God sent the prophets to be God's voice to the people, to tell the people, this is what I want from you. Just follow this and things will go well. God was continuing to ask the people to return to God. Love your neighbor, love God, and love others in your midst. Love the immigrants, love the orphans, love the widows. All of this we find in the Old Testament. And then God promised a servant would be coming. We're told in the prophet Isaiah that God's servant will bear our infirmities, carry our diseases, yet we accounted him as stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we will be healed. Isaiah says, all of us are like sheep who have gone astray. We all turn to our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of all of us. We believe that Jesus Christ was that suffering servant. Jesus Christ was God's beloved son, sent on earth to live the righteous life that we as people proved we just can't do without God's intervention. Jesus was sent to fulfill the laws of the Old Testament, and he modeled for us how to fully love God, fully love neighbor, and fully love ourselves. He showed that some of the rules had become too burdensome. It was okay to heal on the Sabbath when it meant saving someone's life. It was okay to do things that we had put boxes around when it meant that it was all about God and loving neighbors. And it was on the cross that Jesus bore our sins. Jesus led that righteous life. He was without sin. And it was God's will that he would take the cup of suffering so that we could have life. Jesus made it clear all throughout his ministry, if you believe in me, you will live. You will die, but you will receive resurrection and everlasting life. You will have to die to self, let go of your sinful ways, but the gift will be worth it. Eternal life with God. And it was at the cross that Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice and fulfilled the law that we as people continue to struggle to follow. We want, in the core of our being, to love God with everything, to follow God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and yet we get in our own way, do we not? We fail. God knew something new needed to be offered, so sent God's Son into the world to model for us how to live the right way. And he became that sacrifice to end all sacrifices. So Jesus led a wonderful life, and he did something miraculous on the cross. A Lutheran pastor, Nadia Bolz-Weber, calls what God did on the cross spiritual physics. She writes in her book, Pastrix, how the Christian faith is really about death and resurrection. It's about how God continues to reach into the graves that we dig for ourselves and pull us out, giving us new life in both dramatic and small ways. Smiley TV preachers might tell you that following God is all about being good so God can bless you with cash and prizes. Friends, I have bad news. That is not what it's about. But it's really much more gruesome and meaningful. It's about spiritual physics. Something has to die for something new to live. We are offered eternal life through God's radical love and sacrifice. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, viewed atonement as the wondrous love of God. Love is God's motivation for all of God's actions in the world. It's at the cross that Jesus Christ demonstrates his love through the death and resurrection. We see the wondrous love of God on display. I have a wonderful book on atonement that I got to use in seminary. And Peter Schmeiman wrote the book called Saving Power and writes, Jesus Christ appeared in the world as the Son of God to reveal the eternal love of God in human form. By his life of obedience and love, his suffering and death, the wondrous love of God is demonstrated. Through Jesus, God's love is revealed, and God inaugurates a new covenant, a new community, and a new age. John Wesley made it clear that God's love is always reaching out to all of us, all people, all creation. God wants the entire world reconciled to God's self. And as humans, we have that free will. So it's up to us to accept the love of God that we find through Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's speaking about in Romans 3 that we read. Paul lays out a case. All of us are guilty of sin. It doesn't matter what your spiritual pedigree is or what ethnic group you belong to. There's no distinction in the eyes of God because all of us have fallen short of God's glory. And this knowledge is a revelation of God's love as well, as we see that God is always trying to reconcile the world to God's self. Those who believe in Jesus are made right through a specific means laid out. God makes atonement by passing over our sins. Through Christ, we are offered that life. And it is at this table, the Lord's table, that we remember weekly what Christ did for us. We remember that Jesus was celebrating that Passover meal with his disciples. They were remembering God's mighty acts to the Israelite community when God passed over the homes of those that had put the blood of the lamb over their doorframe. God passed over and they were spared. And it was at that supper in that upper room that Jesus gave them a new sign of the new covenant through the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. Jesus said, I'm making a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. And Christ has become the ultimate Passover lamb. Christ is the one who will atone for all of our sins. And through Christ, we are reconciled to God. Again, on our own, we can't achieve it. We've tried. We continue to try. God still wants us to try. But we know that we need Jesus. We need Jesus. Again, we aren't even worthy to eat the crumbs that fall under the table. Yet through Christ, we are invited not just to the table, but to feast at the table, not just for the crumbs, but to sit and feast. God's inward and visible grace are made visible through this table, through the bread and the cup. So it's right for us to be humbled by God's mighty actions through Jesus Christ. We see Paul state that our passage for today, that humility is a consequence of God's incredible work. We can't boast because we didn't do it. It's all God through Jesus Christ. We did nothing to bring the sacrifice to God. We haven't made the sacrifice. We just believe in Jesus who becomes that final atonement for us. How wonderful that we worship a God who has never given up on us and continues to not give up on us. We are promised a time is coming when the whole world will be reconciled to God. God will again dwell among us. It will be returned to Eden. And all we'll do is praise God all the time. We proclaim that Christ will return. So every time we celebrate communion, the Holy Spirit is invoked, asking for these elements to become for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may become for the world the body of Christ redeemed by Christ's blood. We ask the Holy Spirit to make us one with God, one with each other, and one with the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. So today, as we feast at this God's heavenly banquet, I invite you to just think about what this meal means for us, how it has become this sacrament for us. And though we aren't worthy of the crumbs, we are invited to sit at this table to feast because through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. Will you all please pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you are a God who never gives up on us and never gives up on your people. You continue to work on plans to reconcile the world as we look forward to that day when you, God, are fully here with us. God, help us. Help us to live as righteous people as you call us to do, and help us to believe in Jesus Christ so that we are reconciled to you each and every day. Thank you, God, for this sacrament of Holy Communion as we celebrate your amazing love every day for us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. As we come to our prayer time, in just a moment, we will pray together a breakthrough prayer, and I wanted to share with you all a breakthrough. So the Tuesday that I left to go to the Holy Land, I think it was the wonderful food bank trip, likely something on the interstate, caused the radiator to not work anymore. So we have some funds, and so we were able to pay for it, but just today, Anne went to go get the mail, and there's a check from someone in our community who might have seen us on that CBN. We don't know them, but it was a check for the almost the exact amount of those repairs. So God always shows up. So let's pray together our breakthrough prayer, then I'll pray a prayer for us, and we'll end our prayer time with the Lord's Prayer. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, we just give you thanks that you are our amazing God who shows up in so many mighty ways. You show up every Sunday as we come together to worship you, to care for one another. And God, you show up in Sundays, Wednesdays as well. You show up on our weekly Bible study and fellowship groups, and you show up on Wednesdays as well, as we seek to be your hands and feet in your community. God, continue to show up and continue to humble us. Remind us, this is all yours. We are just blessed to be a part of it. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. As it is through him, we are able to be reconciled to you. Thank you, God, for your amazing love that is always reaching out to each one of us. God, we lift up this world. We lift up all the brokenness that is all around us. There's so many things that baffle us, and we scratch our heads thinking, God, how do we help? We continue to lift up the Memphis community. We continue to lift up the injustices that are all around us, that are part of all of our institutions, from our local government to our state government to our federal government. And God, I continue to lift up the injustices that are even found within our United Methodist denomination. God, help us. Help us to humble ourselves and make it all about you once again. God, give us the energy, the courage that we need to fight those injustices that you lay on us. Help us to support one another. And God, help us to be solutions to the problems and not more problems. God, thank you that you guide us each and every spirit, that you send your Holy Spirit on the right path. So God, help all of us to submit to your Holy Spirit today, to follow your will, to work for your justice each and every day. God, help us to be people who follow you. Help us to let go of our sinful ways, the times we get it wrong when we make it about us and not about you. God, help us to make it about you once again together and live freely and not worry like we all do. God, help us. Amen.